Especially this occasion. Wonderful, good singing. And folks, I hope you're enjoying the good music. You know, I enjoy the songs. I enjoy the words. I enjoy the music part of it. But there's something else I enjoy. Much of our special music now, a lot of it is being done by young adults who grew up as kids in this church and just are serving God with their lives. And that blesses me. That blesses me more than the song and more than the message of the song. The music is just the messengers in song. And appreciate the good music we heard this morning and again tonight for special music. The choir, the instrumentalist, almost had the instruments play through that song, The Unclouded Day. Hope you could hear the orchestra. That sounded so good on that song. And just thank you. Somebody wrote me a letter this week, visited here recently, and said I was blessed and encouraged by the vibrant, right music at Faith Baptist. And so to all of you who work in the music department, thank you. Okay, I appreciate your efforts. And trust the Lord will reward you and bless you for your efforts. Well, it's the Lord's Supper time tonight. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll take a little bit different text tonight and talk not long here about this and then jump into it and observe our Lord's table. Just so you know, as a church, we observe the Lord's Supper four times a year. You're never told in the Scripture how many times to observe the Lord's table. Jesus just said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. There are some churches I know that observe it once a month. Others maybe once a year. Well, we've chosen to go four times a year, the first Sunday night usually of every quarter. Being last weekend was a holiday weekend, we postponed it until tonight. Let's stand together. Why don't we do that in honor of God's Word? I begin reading now at verse number 1. Let's do this tonight. We don't often do it anymore, but let's read responsively. I'll read verse 1. You join me on 2 and 4. All right? So I'm reading verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. I want to speak to you on those two words out of verse number 1 tonight. Those sacrifices. Those sacrifices. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Bless us as we jump into it tonight. I pray that your Spirit would have access to every person's mind, heart, and will. And Lord, that you would control our thoughts, our choices, our emotions even, as we think on this wonderful thing called the Lord's Supper. Thank you for this ordinance. Bless its observance tonight is my prayer. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, the writer of Hebrews makes a reference in verse number 1 to those sacrifices. When you read those two words, he is talking about the sacrifices mandated by the law that was given to Moses. We talked about Moses and the law a little bit this morning. The law was given to Moses. He was the representative, if you will, of the law. So he's talking about those sacrifices. But in truth, you could follow the line all the way back to the Garden of Eden. For there we find the first sacrifice ever made for man's sins. And you remember that occasion, how that Adam and Eve sinned against God. 1 Timothy tells us that Eve was deceived in the transgression, but Adam was not. Adam walked up on his bride. His bride, if you will, had eaten of the forbidden fruit and now had disobeyed God. She was tricked. She was deceived into it by the serpent, beguiled. But Adam chose willfully, full well, understanding the consequences, and ate that fruit. Now, that's a beautiful picture of the fact that you and I were sinners and without God and hope in this world. And our bridegroom-to-be, Jesus Christ, willfully took our sins upon His body and went to the cross and was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that happens all the way back in the Adam of, in the Garden of Eden, okay? Now, God comes in the cool of the day, as He did every day, the voice of the Lord, to speak in fellowship with Adam and Eve, and they're hiding. You remember the story? Where art thou, Adam, where art thou? And he's hiding from the voice of the Lord. And why are you hiding? And so forth. And you know the story. They had tried to cover their sin or cover their nakedness, if you will, with fig leaves. And it didn't work. And God Himself in the Garden of Eden performed the very first sacrifice. He killed an animal or maybe two animals. I don't know. We're not told. He killed a couple of animals. There was death in the Garden of Eden. Animals died. There was bloodshed. There was the innocent for the guilty. And God made a coat of skins, and He covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve with that coats, those coats of skins. And yes, the coats covered their bodies, but also the sacrifice covered their sins. Until the next time that a sacrifice was offered, which again covered man's sin for a portion of time. And so it continued. Those sacrifices, bulls, goats, lambs, turtle doves, pigeons, always death, always bloodshed, always the innocent for the guilty, and always sin was covered. But it was always temporary. Think about it. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down in the land of Egypt, the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Death, bloodshed, the innocent for the guilty. Those animals had never committed a sin. None of those animals had ever done anything against the laws of God, but they were slain. And the innocent for the guilty and the blood of those sacrifices covered the sins of mankind. Then came the law, carefully outlining and mandating the sacrifices. Those sacrifices, those Old Testament sacrifices, and they continued over and over and over and over, down through thousands of years. Death, bloodshed, the innocent for the, in the place, the innocent in for the guilty, always covering the sins of mankind. And those sacrifices which they offered year after year after year could never completely or perfectly deal with the sins of mankind. Look at verse number 2 in this passage. Look at what it says. Let's start with verse number 1. Those sacrifices which they offered year by year, they couldn't make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If those sacrifices had been full and complete, they would have ceased. They would have stopped, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. Look at verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there's the words again, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. People, the very fact that those sacrifices had to be made was reminder that it was time to cover their sins again. It only was temporary. It was not permanent. It never took away sin. It just covered it. Year after year after year after year. We're talking about thousands of sacrifices, and they continued. Because as verse number 4 says, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. There is a big difference in sin being covered and sin being taken away. Big difference. And all those sacrifices could do is cover, 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 cover. And then it was time to sacrifice again and be reminded, oh yeah, my sins have not been taken away. And so now kill the lamb, bloodshed, innocent for the guilty. And now it's time again. Oh yeah, over and over and over. And those sacrifices continued. Those sacrifices, you know what those sacrifices actually became? They became a remembrance that their sins were only covered for a year or for a short period of time. The people of God were reminded over and over and over again that their sins were only covered. They were not taken away. How many sacrifices do you suppose were made during that time of history? How many Old Testament sacrifices? Folks, we're talking about multiplied thousands. You take the Day of Atonement alone. You take the Passover, when every Israelite family had to offer a lamb. You take the Passover. We're talking about thousands of sacrifices, multiplied thousands, and they never satisfied the conscience of those that came and offered the sacrifice. There was just a reminder that, you know what, I got to do this again next year. And I got to do this again next year. and I got to do this again. And it was always because it was temporary, 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 over and over again. Death, bloodshed, the innocent for the guilty. Those animals, not guilty of sin, but the people they died for were guilty of sin. Look at verse number 11 in this passage. Look at what verse number 11 says. And every priest standeth daily. Look at that, folks. Daily. We're not talking about once, just once a year. There were annual sacrifices. There were monthly sacrifices. There were daily sacrifices. We're talking about multiplied thousands of sacrifices. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Think about it. Never accomplish the task. Fully and completely. Never accomplish the task perfectly. And on and on and on it went. Until one morning. There was much commotion in Jerusalem. It was a buzz. The man named Jesus of Nazareth had been arrested the night before, in the early hours of the morning, actually. He had been arrested, he had been tried, and he had been found guilty of blasphemy. Because he claimed to be God the Son of God. I'm not sure how many priests were dutifully going about offering sacrifices at the temple that day. I know this, it was the start of the Passover. And so there would have been lots of lambs to sacrifice. There would have been many priests on duty to offer those sacrifices over and over and over and over again. And I know there would have been a lot of them as they sacrificed the lambs for the evening meals. There was much talk about what was happening on Golgotha throughout the middle of the day. Somebody said that the sky had turned dark as midnight at noon. That's not normal. And then 3 hours later, there was talk of an earthquake. And then some very unusual appearances of people who had been long thought dead were now walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Strange things indeed. And the priests that were sacrificing those animals and cutting the necks, slitting the throats and taking the blood and putting the body on the altar and burning it and then taking the blood and applying it and going through it and washing their hands at the laver over and over again. They heard all this about all this commotion over on a hill called Golgotha. Maybe one of the priests went into the temple to prepare to shut it down for the day. To shut it down for the start of the Passover. The golden candlestick had to be extinguished and everything had to be sure that it was buttoned down for the... And he looked. And that curtain that had been in place for years and years and years, that curtain that represented separation, that curtain that represented the fact that it had spoken the fact that only one man could approach the presence of God. That curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies. That curtain that separated man, the common man, from the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the presence of God. That curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Who could have done that? Now, folks, look, no, you won't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says that it was a thick curtain. Now, I've preached that. And other people have preached that. Maybe you've taught that. But the truth of the matter is, you won't find that anywhere in Scripture. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells you how thick that veil was. Some people said it was the thickness of a man's hand, maybe 4 or 5 inches. I don't know. That's speculation based on something that Josephus wrote back in this time period. But I do know this. That curtain was tall. It stretched from the top of the ceiling of the tabernacle to the floor. And it went from wall to wall. And I know it separated even the common priests from that Ark of the Covenant. There was only one man who could enter in there, and he could only enter in there one day out of the year for one specific purpose. And now that curtain was torn in twain from top to bottom. And that priest was dumbfounded. The way to the Holy of Holies and the way to the Ark of the Covenant and the way to the mercy seat was now open, and it was all exposed. Why? Because the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world, had come, and that sacrifice, not those sacrifices, but that sacrifice, that one sacrifice, was perfect and full and complete forever. Look at verse number 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, thank God, one sacrifice compared to those sacrifices. Those sacrifices could do nothing but cover sin for a temporary time period. But glory to God, that one sacrifice did it all, friend. After he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Did you get those last two words? Forever. Forever. No need for another sacrifice. Sat down on the right hand of God. Look at verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. People, listen very carefully. This is the message tonight that we're going to go right to the table. We do not meet here tonight to be reminded of our sins again. We do not meet here tonight to be reminded that our sins need to be covered again. We do not meet here tonight to be reminded that there's going to be another sacrifice offered that's going to cover our sins for a temporary time period. No, glory to God. We meet here tonight to remember Him who was the one man who offered the sacrifice that covered sins forever. We will, just a little bit, we will take the bread. And we will pass the bread, which represents the body of Jesus. And Jesus died in that body on that tree. The Bible tells us that in His own body, He took our sins to the cross, hung there, and died. Yes, died. And by the way, no man took His life. He gave it. He gave His life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. He laid His hands down on that cross. He laid His feet on that lumber. And He was nailed there. He gave His life. We're here to remember that tonight. Not those sacrifices that could not take away sins, but we're here to remember His death. We're also here to remember His blood, which is represented by the juice. And the juice that will be passed is not alcoholic. It is not fermented. It is pure juice. It's clean juice because it represents the pure and sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed. Oh, isn't that interesting? Death and bloodshed. The innocent for the guilty. Same thing. It was always death. It was always bloodshed. It was always the innocent for the guilty. But the big difference, those sacrifices were only temporary. They were not permanent. They could only cover sin. His sacrifice was permanent. It was full. It was complete. It was perfect. It not only covers sin, brother, but it takes it away completely. His body, His blood, didn't just cover our sin. It took them away. Something those sacrifices could never do. You know what the purpose of this ordinance is tonight? To remember Him. That's what he said twice in the Gospel of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul gave the institution of the table, the Lord's table, to the church. He said, Jesus said, when you pass the bread, this do in remembrance of me. When you pass the juice, this do in remembrance of me. I think about that song. Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon His name? He reached down His nail-scarred hand and lifted you out. So remember where you were back then and thank Him for where you are now. And thank Him tonight that His sacrifice took away sin. Not just covered it. Took it away forever. He sat down. You know, several pieces of furniture in the tabernacle proper there where the priest went in to do his work. No piece of furniture for him to sit on because it was a continual process. They never rested from their work during the daytime of offering those sacrifices. They were busy at it all day long. But when Jesus offered Himself upon that tree and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, He sat down. finished. Don't you enjoy a full and complete and perfect salvation? Aren't you glad you didn't have to come tonight with an old goat tied behind your car? You say, he wasn't behind the car, he was driving it. Aren't you glad you didn't have to come tonight with some kind of lamb? Here's Brother Mick over at this door, and Brother Luke back here, and Brother Mike over here, and I'm over somewhere, and we're standing there in some kind of robe, and okay, taking your animal and slitting the throat and gathering the blood and putting it on things and smell of burnt bodies and hair and flesh. Aren't you glad that's over? And then only to be reminded that you got to do it again. And then you got to do it again. And then got to do it again. Then got to do it again. No. Our sacrifice is perfect, full, complete. The Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering Savior, and this ordinance tonight will not save you. If you think the eating of a little bread and the drinking of a little juice is what makes you saved and takes your sins away, you've missed it. This is only a picture of His body and His blood, which were given for our salvation. So church, take full advantage of the opportunity tonight. When that bread comes to you and that juice comes to you following, take some time to remember Him, the sacrifice that was full, complete, and perfect, that takes away our sin. Father in heaven, we rejoice tonight in the privilege of being saved. And we rejoice tonight in these words from Hebrews chapter 10 that remind us how much better the sacrifice of Christ is and was than the sacrifices of those bulls and goats. And Lord, I stand before You tonight, an undeserving sinner, saved by grace because of Your shed blood and Your death on the cross. And I want to thank You, Jesus. I want to thank You for a full and perfect and complete salvation. Thank You for the sacrifice that doesn't just cover our sins, but takes it away. May we live with a happy, dedicated, consecrated heart because of all that You've done for us. May You draw us closer to You because we spend these moments together around this table, is my prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would encourage you to let the Lord examine your heart during these next few moments. The altar will be open and available to anybody who would like to kneel and just say a word to the Lord. Please don't eat and drink of the Lord's table unworthily. By that, does not mean that you're sinless. Nobody's that way. But it does mean that on a daily basis, you're walking in the light of God's will and way and word and in fellowship with Him and abstaining from some horrible, filthy sin that dominates your life. You're confessed and clean tonight and in good fellowship with the Lord. And if so, take of the bread, take of the juice, and be reminded of the wonderful sacrifice, the full, complete, permanent sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. If you're not saved, we have time for somebody to show you how to be saved. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the ladies are playing the song of invitation.